I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody ruthless. There's no one that can match me. My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable. And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
We're going to stay here all night if we have to, so let's get started.
Can I go when this starts to suck?
Suicide to suicide. What about my suicide to suicide? Suicide to suicide. What about my suicide to suicide?
I had a dream. I had a dream that I was in prison. I had a dream that I was in prison and I ran with a gang of poets. And all the other gangs were afraid to say our names, would do everything they could to maintain their distance, although resistance was futile. And they would kill each other and assault each other, but considered our truths too hostile. They didn't want us to take away the cartons of low self-esteem that society gave them, because that was all they had. And when they saw us walking down the block, they would dip in their cells. They'd rather dwell in that hell than face the heaven that we were speaking. They would rather see a fellow inmate's blood leaking than have us reach into their heart. Even though all we ever said was that we loved them and wanted to save them, but every jewel we gave them just made them fear us more. And in the mess hall, they would rather gang war than sit at our table, even though we carved right in it that none of us were better and we were all up in this hell together. And what was most important is that we posed a united front in front of the COs and the warden. And although the poets might have known a little bit more about our oppression, we were all caught in the belly of the beast. But then I noticed that the ones who listened were the other poets and the ones who needed to hear us the least. So we started flying these kites called heat. And we told them each one teach one and each one reach one, because the place where we're from is the place where God lives. So they started a rumor that the poets had the mark of the Most High on our eyelids. And poets started buying into it and getting all egotistical and believing that they were better than the other convicts. So I took it for as long as I could, and then I stood in the middle of the cell block and I yelled out, whenever I write, I try to make sure that I give insight and vision. And I looked around and noticed that the ones who needed to hear me the most wouldn't listen. The ones who needed to hear me the most could not listen. It was like the ones who needed to hear me the most didn't listen. And that's when I woke up this morning and realized that I actually do live in that very prison.
I wish one of your guys had children so I could kick them in the head or stomp on their testicles so you could feel my pain, because that's the pain I have waking up every day.
This is Frank Settapani with the CBS World News Roundup. Former heavyweight boxing champion Mike Tyson walked out of prison this morning a free man and flew home to Ohio. Randall Pinkston reports from Plainfield, Indiana.
Mike Tyson, the youngest boxer ever to win the heavyweight championship and the youngest to lose it, wrapped up the toughest bout of his life at 6:15 this morning, completing 3 years of a 6-year sentence for rape. More than 200 disappointed journalists could only catch a glimpse of the 28-year-old boxer, who was surrounded by bodyguards as he came out of the door with promoter Don King. Wearing a Muslim skull cap, Tyson was whisked to a nearby mosque for prayer. He converted to Islam while in prison. Prison officials said Tyson's stay here was unremarkable. Deputy Superintendent Phil Slavin said Tyson asked for no special favors and none were granted. Analysts predict that his first post-prison bout could earn him $25 to $50 million, depending on his opponent. Randall Pinkston, CBS News, Plainfield, Indiana.
Those in the know suspect Tyson's return to the ring won't happen soon. Heavyweight Frank Bruno says he'll have to work hard to get back into fighting shape.
He'll need time to bulk up again and get himself fighting fit. You can get fit as regards run 8 miles a day, do whatever, 2,100 press-ups, whatever. But putting on the gloves and sparring and getting someone to hit you is a different cup of tea.
But ex-Tyson trainer Kevin Rooney sees no reason to rule out a comeback.
His skills shouldn't have eroded, because it's not like he's been out partying for 3 years. He's just really been sitting and resting. So that's a positive factor as far as I'm concerned.
Tyson will be on probation for the next 4 years.
One, two, three, four. Tall and tan and young and lovely, the girl from Ipanema goes walking, and when she passes, each one she passes go, ah. When she walks, she's like a samba that swings so cool and sways so gentle that when she passes, each one she passes say, ah. Oh, but I want her so badly. How can I tell her I love her? Yes, I would give my heart gladly. But each day when she walks through the sea, she looks straight ahead, not at me. Tall and tan and young and lovely, the girl from Ipanema goes walking, and when she passes I smile, but then she doesn't see. She just doesn't see. No, she just doesn't see me. She just doesn't see.
Because I do more.
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 Senhoras e senhores, Mike Tyson.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you. You have a problem, turn off your station.
Not knowing what to do with your hands. Or offering a handshake when the other person offers a fist bump. Forgetting someone's name. Not having anything to say and forgetting your phone at home so you can't be distracted by it. Getting caught staring at a stranger. Striking up a conversation with someone you don't know in a bathroom. Someone oversharing, telling a group too much information. Overhearing a couple breaking up. Noticing food in someone's teeth, but not telling them, and well, now it's been too long and bringing it up would be weird. Smelling a fart in an elevator that wasn't yours, but, well, now you can't even react to it or mention that you've noticed it or pretend you even know what a fart is. All of those things are awkward. We don't like awkwardness. It makes us uncomfortable, cringe. But what is awkwardness? Why is it good? And who is the main character of the universe? To really understand awkwardness, we need to put it in context with the entire family of forces that guide social behavior. Think of this sheet of cardboard as a list of all possible behaviors. It's not infinite because of the limits of science and biology. You can't move faster than light or be in two places at once. You can't wear pants made out of molten lead. Next, there are legal limits, the laws of the state. They delineate what you agree not to do, lest the authorities punish you. Murder, stealing, speeding. What's left is molded by the finer tool of social expectations. It's not illegal to chew with your mouth open or not cover a sneeze on a crowded bus or act disrespectfully, but it is frowned upon, punished not by the police, but by social ostracism, public opprobrium, being called rude, gross, mean, annoying. Awkwardness is the finest tool. It sands social dynamics by smoothing out what even etiquette doesn't rule on. It's not a violation of the laws of physics to accidentally hug someone for longer than they expected. It's not against the law either, and the etiquette for how long a hug should last isn't black and white. But it is awkward. Like touching a hot stove or getting a parking fine or losing friends, awkwardness nudges us to avoid certain actions in the future and smooth things out when they happen. People who demonstrate self-consciousness when needed are communicating cooperative intentions, which helps them get along well with others. It's no coincidence that brains susceptible to feeling occasional awkwardness would become so common. They're successful at cooperating, at social life. Feeling awkward shows that you understand and are keen on smooth social exchanges. Now, too much or too little concern for social rules isn't healthy, but research has found that just the right amount is great. When a person shows remorse or embarrassment or awkward discomfort, when appropriate, others perceive them as being more trustworthy and their actions as more forgivable. And it's not just perception. Such individuals also tend to be more objectively pro-social when tested, kinder, more generous. Even when a person is completely oblivious to a faux pas they've committed, awkwardness still arises. People around them can feel uncomfortable. It's called vicarious embarrassment, and it's a function of empathy, the ability to feel what others feel, or will feel when or if they realize what they've just done. The more EEE someone is, that is, easily empathetically embarrassed, the harder it is for them to sit through other people's cringe-inducing moments, even fictional ones like in cringe comedy. Research has found that being more easily empathetically embarrassed does not correlate to being more easily embarrassed yourself. Instead, it's linked to being more empathetic, an important capacity for social creatures to have. Our seemingly counterintuitive attraction to viewing cringy moments, like, say, bad American Idol auditions, is perhaps then just a light form of morbid curiosity. You may think that awkwardness is totally different from physical pain or outright name-calling, but your brain would disagree. You see, research has found that social missteps activate, among other regions, the secondary somatosensory cortex and dorsal posterior insula, areas of the brain that are also connected to the sensation of physical pain. Our brains process the breaking of social standards and the breaking of bones through similar neural pathways. Likewise, the same sympathetic nervous system that mobilizes you to deal with physical threats, fight or flight, is activated by social challenges where awkwardness or embarrassment might be at stake, like events where you are very aware of being watched, speaking in front of a group, or embarrassing yourself in front of onlookers, or having nothing to say on a first date. Awkward silence. Your blood pressure increases, causing you to overheat and sweat. Oxygen is needed for fighting and running, so breathing increases, and digestion shuts down, causing nausea and butterflies in your stomach. Your body instinctively contracts into a protective fetal position, and fighting that reaction to act natural makes you shake. Blood vessels in your extremities contract to prioritize major organs, leaving you with cold fingers and toes and nose. These symptoms don't alleviate awkwardness. They compound it, but that's history's fault. Long before human social dynamics were complicated enough to involve, ew, is it one kiss or two, or politics at Thanksgiving dinner, we developed primitive reactions to physical threats and haven't had enough time yet to evolve newer ones. Self-conscious anxiety can be tough to get out of our minds after we've done something awkward. Fixating on social blunders is easy and hard to overcome. Why was I so unsure, so unconfident, so awkward? Well, some of the blame may lie with the neurotransmitter oxytocin. Oxytocin is sometimes called the love hormone because it modulates pro-social feelings like trust and attachment, which it does. In fact, nasal sprays of oxytocin are being used to increase trust during couples therapy and in the reduction of anxiety and depression. Though there are fears that it could also be used to deviously increase trust and make a person more susceptible to con artist schemes. But oxytocin also modulates negative social feelings like fear and anxiety. A dose of it makes people better at recognizing the facial expressions for disgust and fright. It's also involved in the feelings that make us approach or avoid certain social stimuli. And it may play a role in making positive and negative social interactions more salient in our memories. That is, stand out more, command more of our attention after the fact, make us think about them more. Negative ones especially, because of what psychologists call negativity bias. All things being equal, negative social interactions and negative emotions have a greater impact on our mental states than positive ones. In fact, we have more words for negative emotions than positive ones, and a richer vocabulary to describe them. Thus, such memories and thoughts can be tough to just get over. What does the other person think of me? I was so awkward. Are they telling other people? We replay social encounters in our heads over and over again. Surely the person we were awkward with remembers us the same way we're remembering ourselves and is equally fixated on that awkward thing we did. Or are they? A great wet blanket for smothering the fire of self-conscious anxieties is perspective. Consider the famous advice of Eleanor Roosevelt. You wouldn't worry so much about what others think of you if you realized how seldom they do. As much as you obsess over yourself, you're not the first thing on everyone else's minds. They're worried about themselves, what you think about them, and more importantly, what they think about themselves. You're not the center of their world. Another famous old piece of advice tells us that in your 20s and 30s, you worry about what other people think about you. In your 40s and 50s, you stop worrying what other people think about you. And then finally, in your 60s and 70s, you realize that they were never thinking about you in the first place. The tendency to act and think as though you are the true main character of the universe has been called protagonist disease. It seeps into our behavior all the time. For instance, the fundamental attribution error. When evaluating actions, you often view yourself as a complex character acted upon by various challenges and antagonists, whereas other people are seen as just one-dimensional background characters with simple, unchanging roles. The guy who took way too long ordering in front of you this morning, well, he's obviously just an innately annoying person. That's his entire purpose. But when you take too long ordering, well, it's because the staff was unhelpful or you were flustered, preoccupied by an earlier conversation. You are the main character after all. You know a lot more about what's going on in your life. It's easy to live like that. There isn't time or mental space to consider every other person as complicated and fully fleshed out. But they are. The realization of this has a name given to it by the Dictionary of Obscure Sorrows, one of my favorite resources and now YouTube channels. They wrap profound concepts up in tiny little word packages. To be sure, giving something a name doesn't show that you know it or how to feel about it, but nonetheless, words put handles on things so we can manipulate them, hold them down, offer them to others, feel bigger than the concepts they label. Now, their word for acknowledging that you are just an extra in other people's stories, not even cast in most of them, is Sonder. This is their definition of it. Sonder. The realization that each random passerby is living a life as vivid and complex as your own, populated with their own ambitions, friends, routines, worries, and inherited craziness, an epic story that continues invisibly around you like an anthill sprawling deep underground with elaborate passageways to thousands of other lives that you'll never know existed, in which you might only appear once. As an extra sipping coffee in the background, as a blur of traffic passing on the highway, as a lighted window at dusk. Acknowledging this makes your awkwardness look small, but it also makes all of you look small. Tiny, a needle in a giant haystack, but nonetheless, in possession of a big idea. Your blemishes are lost from far away, and so is your uniqueness, but the view from way up here, well, it's unbeatable.
This is spring break, Panama City Beach, Florida, one of the many destinations around the country where college students go when they have the week off of school. It gets wild, it gets crazy, and anything goes! We're here to get f***ed up! All right, what kinds of things are you seeing? Crazy things.
We're seeing boobs, twerking, liquor, weed, everything.
Wildest thing I've seen is two girls on five guys.
It gets pretty sexual on the beach here. Ow!
I saw someone f- on these bitches the other day.
We saw somebody snort cocaine off a girl's
in public.
In public.
What's the craziest thing you've seen? When do people start drinking here?
Literally like right when we wake up.
Which is what time?
We wake up at like 10. We wake up early.
When will you guys stop drinking?
When we pass out.
Yeah.
About 2 a.m.
Everyone, that's the mission, is to get drunk. It's not to get a buzz.
No, it's to get
drunk. Do you see a lot of drugs here?
Yes.
Out in the open, people smoking marijuana.
Yeah, I just did it right down the beach.
Really? Have you gotten arrested for it?
Not yet.
Everyone out here drinking?
Hell yeah, I hope so. If they ain't, they doing wrong.
What time do you guys start drinking in the morning?
6 a.m.
And what time do you stop?
Whenever you come home with me.
I have vodka and Red Bull, and I'm getting crunk, then a mug.
I mean, kids, they are waking up getting bombed, getting trashed, and that's their mission.
But go to the funnel, for example. I mean, there used to be, we were younger, you do a shotgun. You put a hole in the bottom of a beer can, put it up
we
here.
We saw a few
open
of those.
All right, you saw a few of those.
But the funnels, people are walking around with those funnels on their back.
All right, how many beers are they putting in each funnel?
Well, each time they funnel, it's one beer, and then they're funneling over and over
literally,
and over
it basically just shoots it right into your
Absolutely.
Stomach.
They have to lean back. It opens up their throat, and then the beer just goes down.
It literally falls down.
Exactly.
And it's not like
they don't taste it. It's not enjoyable. They're just doing that to get drunk quickly.
What we have a picture. This is what he's doing there. So literally, that's one beer. They do that all day.
They do that all day.
So how many people did you see that you would argue were like passing out drunk?
Oh my gosh, the whole beach.
You think that there's a difference if a parent sends a son or a daughter.
Yes.
That's kind of a double standard.
Of course it is. We're different. Sorry, equality is a myth. Women
you
aren't
really
strong
want,
as
you
men.
Really want
they
your
can't
son.
Even hold their booze as
you
well as
really
men.
You really want your
true.
Son.
This
of course it's true. Don't be ridiculous.
That's a blanket statement that you can't say. This is my comment for that. Boys will be boys. That is so archaic. I don't want my sons, if they get older and want to go to spring break, I don't want them confronted. I don't want them to even
but
have.
But what's worse? One is much more scary than the other.
Well, you're right. I mean,
and
there are
you're
some
making
scary women out there.
Less safe. When you say that women,
making women less safe.
That attitude makes women less safe. When you say, oh, boys will be boys and girls will be boys, they're all the same. No, women are more vulnerable and they're going to go down there. So the most you can do is just drill into your clear.
Right. Boys sometimes can be worse than girls because boys are lustful and boys will do things that they shouldn't be doing that they get away with because they don't get a reputation like a woman. And that's not fair.
So drill that into your daughter and say, you're weak, you're vulnerable, you're not a superhero, you're in danger.
Why don't we drill it into our sons?
We do! They go to jail for 15 years for these crimes.
Okay, then. You want to call him Fred Flintstone and get out? All right.
I just think you should send the same message.
I don't
want to
send anybody. I agree with you. I don't think you send anybody.
Exactly. Shut down spring break.
Hey, I'm more worried about pebbles than I am about
And then coming up later in the hour, we'll be comparing paper towel brands. So you should probably find something else to watch then.
But first, the story of the incredible Tyler Morgan. Let's take a look.
If he looks different than the other students on this college campus, it's because he's only 13 years old. But the amazing young Tyler is already consuming alcohol on the level of someone twice his age, and his talents have gotten him accepted at Ohio State University. The school says the decision to admit him was a no-brainer.
He's impressive. As soon as we saw him pounding back Coors Light, falling all over himself and puking, we knew this was someone who belongs at The Ohio State University.
Wow. We are lucky to be joined today by the little prodigy himself, along with Tyler's parents, Jack and Christine. Good morning, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Tyler, most kids your age are in middle school and probably think that alcohol doesn't taste good, but not you.
Yeah, I like to drink liquor or beer or whatever. There's way more beer at college than at my house.
I'll bet there is. Mom and Dad, you guys must be so proud.
When did you know he wasn't like the other kids?
It was pretty early on.
As long as we can remember, he's always just wanted to drink and drink, and he was always so loud, always so obnoxious.
And eventually, Ohio State took notice.
Right, your professors and classmates, everyone there at OSU says you just fit right in. You must have a lot of new friends.
Yeah, I'm just like everybody else. I go to class, I show up wasted, I leave early.
Wow.
So many impressive moments. You're active in a fraternity, you've streaked at 4 baseball games, you've broken an arm falling off a house, you've even made the wall of shame at O'Hooligans.
That night was stupid crazy.
That was special day.
So what's it like raising a son as special and as unique as Tyler?
He's really something else. I mean, we're not big drinkers or anything. Sometimes it's hard for us to keep up with.
I'll bet it is. All right, now, Tyler, we want to see some of this remarkable talent ourselves. How about some beer pong?
Hell yeah. Okay. Standard house rules, no elbows, 2 re-racks, bitch cups, NBA Jam rules.
All right. Oh, wow.
Send it back.
All right.
Damn it!
Oh, finally, it's our turn. All right, Tracy.
Okay. All
right, I'll start.
What's up? You want to play? Come on, let's give it a go. Oh,
so young and yet so disgusting.
It's just the worst.
Yes.
Check this out. Slam dunk. Oh, that's you. Oh, that's you.
Is a monster.
Well, thank you all so much for being with us. I can't wait to see what amazing problems lie in store for you. Hey, you stick around, because later we're going to tell you how to walk past that clothing store with a mannequin that terrifies you. Stay with us.
So we have this crazy world, and it gets crazier. The idea is to keep us so focused on survival. It's like that mass mind control manual that came to light a few years ago called Silent Weapons for a Quiet War, How to Manipulate the Population. And one of the lines in it said, keep them busy, busy, busy back on the farm with the other animals. So the more you can keep us in a state of survival, more and more stress. Look, mate, you might be saying interesting things, but I live in the real world, mate. That's the idea, to keep us in that state of stress. And we're now bringing it to younger and younger people. People, kids under tremendous stress to pass exams, to show how indoctrinated they are in the system. Oh, you must pass your exams. Oh, my son got a, sorry, I've seen it on car stickers. My son got so-and-so, I'm very pleased for you. By the way, he got it, you didn't. This parental glory seeking, you've got to pass your exams, you're going to be a banker, your mum wants you to be a banker. Pressure, whatever happened to life? How do you spell happy, teacher? What's all that about? Do we ever talk about that? Are you happy? Are you fulfilled? You know, people, we have these measurements of success that are sold to us that we take on, and they're all about more. How many more people are this? How many more people are that? How many more people are this? How many more people have passed degrees? How many more people have got a mortgage? How many more people? Yeah, it's the other way tells the real story. How few people are unfulfilled? How few people are under stress? How few people are ill? How few people are homeless? How few people are terrified of the future? These are the measurements of a success of society, surely. Not more and more and more.
The Skynet funding bill is passed. The system goes online on August 4th, 1997. It becomes self-aware at 2:14 a.m. Eastern Time.
Remember Skynet? That artificial intelligence system from the Terminator series? You know, it gets too powerful and tries to wipe out the human race. Sounds far-fetched? Well, Skynet may not be as far-fetched as we think.
Google processes 1 billion web searches every day.
Here's a few of the things Google wants to own: your phone, your email, your computer, and your entire digital life. Building an empire on your street, on your phone, in your DNA.
It seems the startup stage for Nest Labs is over because Google has bought the company for $3.2 billion.
They want you to categorize your day: when I wake up, when I leave for work, when I get home from work, when I go to bed.
Am I alone and feeling a little uncomfortable about this?
One, two, three.
Balloons communicate with specialized internet antennas on the ground. We're using all of these things to build this network in the sky.
For several years, Google has made driverless technology. One analyst estimates that by 2035, there will be close to 12 million self-driving cars on the road.
What exactly is Google X?
It would be tempting to call Google X Google's research lab, where, you know, the smartest computer scientists are looking at the next generation of Google products.
You also make a reference that it's kind of like the Manhattan Project, where, you know, they developed the first atomic bomb. It also sounds like it could be a little scary.
Google and NASA have teamed up to share one of the world's first commercial quantum computers, therefore bringing about a quantum leap in terms of power.
Let's get to the Google robot. Let's start with what would be the brain of the robot, and that is DeepMind.
DeepMind can be described as a world-class, groundbreaking technology to build powerful and general-purpose learning algorithms.
So critical thinking.
Exactly. Yeah. Critical thinking.
Google Incorporated said that it is acquiring satellite company Skybox Imaging for $500 million in cash.
And here's a sample of what Google's going to get. The company takes high-res images and video of a given area.
What do you guys think about Google owning the skies and the ground?
Why is Google gobbling up robotics companies? The search engine giant has just acquired a company that designs robots for the U.S. Department of Defense.
Then, as if that wasn't disturbing enough, I know it's 2012, but it sure feels like 1984 in this house today.
Remember to always be true, no matter what you do.
Run it, I never front it, I got my whole cool life on it. Think sharp, man, listen.
You can't hide, you can't run.
Remember to always be true, no matter what you do.
Run it, I never front it, I got my whole cool life on it.
Any day your last day might come, so
you can't hide, you can't run.
Late night and in the shadows when the daylight comes, remember.
You can't hide, you can't run.
Man, listen.
Any day your last day might come, so
you can't hide, you can't run.
From the truth, we know each and every day fights come, remember.
You can't hide, you can't run.
This life is final destination. You're trying your best to make it. They say be patient, but you know you're cheating. Death is chasing. Heart beating, pulse racing, but I keep the pacing. Trained to be the best and beat the best by the Gracies. Grappler, spectacular, rap for sport or altercation. In self-defense, we hear my muff for tailored alteration. With fire starters, leaving stages up in flames. Then again with firefighters spraying at whatever's blazing. Crazy ways to express and pass information. Daily making the best of bad situations. We fight to win in whatever time. Type of test we're facing. Hip-hop came while they were underestimating. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that's what I was raised in. But then the crackin' gangs flourished under Ronald Reagan. Life insurance for kids, undertakers waiting. Earth is purgatory here between the pearly gates and Satan. Any day your last day might come, so
you can't hide, you can't run.
Late night and in the shadows when the daylight comes, remember.
You can't hide, you can't run.
Man, listen.
Any day your last day might come, so
you can't hide, you can't run.
From the truth, we know each and every day fights come, remember.
You can't hide, you can't run.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, listen,
I stay relevant, only person I stand in the shadow of is evidence. Last page I left off a good look. This ain't the next chapter, it's a whole new book. About to steal the game, I'm a whole new crook. Baking up that fire, I'm a whole new cook. Get your whole ish took. Cali's back under the sun, so
you can't hide and you can't run.
From the truth, some ain't convinced, so they decide to try me. Like I give a fuck, we live from India, Ari. They got spies and cameras and trailers. Seen them setting up though, we on camera surveillance. On to me, I'm on to you, it's no mystery. Better think fast though, the future just for history. It's where the plot thickens, regardless of wealth. It's the worst person to run from yourself, darling. Any day your last day might come, so
you can't hide, you can't run.
Late night and in the shadows when the daylight comes, remember.
You can't hide, you can't run.
Any day your last day might come.
Yo. You can't hide, you can't run from
the truth. We know each and every day fights come, remember.
You can't hide, you can't run.
Remember to always be true, no matter what you do.
Run it, I never front it, I got my whole crew life on it.
Think sharp,
man, listen.
You can't hide, you can't run.
Remember to always be true, no matter, no matter, no matter what you do.
Run it, I never front it, I got my whole crew life on it, on it, on it, on it, on it. Man, listen, listen, listen.
You can't hide, you can't run.
Remember to always be true. No matter, no matter, no matter what you do. Think sharp.
Man, listen.
The music speaks for itself. Yeah.
You can't hide, you can't run.
Can't run. Not from God.
D.C. police have recently had to deal with some crowd control situations involving violent teenagers. Now a controversial noise device just may do some work for them. Let's find out more from our own Brian Todd. Brian.
Wolf, this Gallery Place section of Washington is very popular with young people because of all the trendy bars and restaurants around here. But recently, property managers have complained about loitering. There was recently a street brawl that took place. We're told it started down here in this metro station and spilled over onto the street. It was a real mess. Since that time, property managers have placed this device up on the wall right next to the metro station. This is called a mosquito. It emits a high-pitched sound designed to keep loiterers away. But the question is, does it unfairly target young people? It can cause a high-pitched headache, and that's by design. Just outside the Gallery Place subway stop in Washington, the mosquito beeps often. But is it indiscriminate? This anti-loitering device was placed here after a big street brawl. But the property managers and the mosquito's distributor both tell CNN the noisemaker doesn't target young people. Still, the distributor says teenagers happen to do the most loitering. And he says the sound is most effective for the stage of life when humans can hear the highest pitches.
The mosquito, when activated, emits a sound at 17.5 kilohertz, which is at the high end of the youth hearing range, 13 to 25-year-old hearing range. When a youth hears the sound, they find it extremely annoying and will leave the area in a few minutes.
At Gallery Place, we saw some young people getting irritated.
Probably wouldn't shop in any of these shops if I heard it again.
Why not?
It's too annoying. It gave me a headache.
There are settings on the mosquito that can be heard by older age groups. I played the sound off a computer in our newsroom near several people in their 20s, 30s, and older. I didn't tip them off beforehand. On settings for people 25, 30, 35, and younger, no one reacted. Then, we're going to play a setting now for people 50 years old and under. I can hear that too. Still, some believe this device does target teenagers unfairly. Among the community leaders who have concerns about this device, Judith Sandelow of the Children's Law Center here in the Gallery Place area. Judith, if there are problems with violence and loiterers driving away customers from businesses that count on that business in this area, wouldn't a little thing like this help?
I'm sympathetic to businesses needing to be able to engage the most customers in the best possible way. I'm sympathetic to that. This isn't the best solution. We need to have better programs for youth. We need to engage them in activities.
Believe it or not, young people have been able to use this device to their advantage. We're told by the distributor that that high-pitched sound that it emits has made its way onto the internet. He says that young people have been able to download that noise onto their cell phones to use as ringtones so that when their cell phones ring, they can hear it, but their parents and their teachers cannot.
No! Stop it already!
lawmakers in Utah have voted to bring back executions by firing squad if lethal injections are not readily available. The news comes as a number of U.S. states struggle to obtain lethal injection drugs amid a nationwide shortage and concerns over their effectiveness. European manufacturers have refused to sell the concoctions to U.S. prisons and corrections departments over opposition to the death penalty. Many states have been led to consider alternative methods as supplies dwindle. Texas is said to have only enough drugs on hand to perform two more executions, while the head of Utah's prison system has said the state does not currently have any. Supporters of the legislation say three states, Oklahoma, Ohio, and Arizona, recently carried out lethal injections that led to inmates' physical distress and drawn-out deaths. They claim death by firing squad is more humane. Opponents, however, say it's a cruel holdover from the state's Wild West days and will earn it international condemnation. If approved by Governor Gary Herbert, the move would make Utah the only state in the country to permit the practice. It used firing squads for decades before adopting lethal injections in 2004.
Kennedy Guy could be wrong because she's played the card before, and when she tried to do it that time, it blew up in her face.
And every time she tries to do it, it's very clumsy with the yoga routines and Chelsea's wedding planning. But here's the other issue that we're not talking about, which is the main issue that's really going to hurt her with these gender-based politics. She's waging a war on men. You know, while she's trying to gather the women's vote, there are a bunch of dudes sitting around going, hey, wait a second. I'm just trying to get a job, pay my mortgage, and support my family. She's completely against me and my kind, and I didn't want it to be about gender at all, but she's making it divisive.
An extension to what you're saying, Kennedy, is that some of these women are with those men, and maybe they don't need a champion that looks just like them. They need a champion that will treat everybody fairly.
Really funny clip. This is one of my favorite things we've played for you in a while. Recently, Venezuela accused the United States of plotting another coup. And this led to State Department spokesperson Jen Psaki to make a statement about this. And she wrote it off. She said it's ludicrous that the United States is involved in a coup in Venezuela. But she went a little too far. And she said something that really made some of the reporters in the room laugh. Check this out. I love this.
President Maduro last night went on the air and said that they'd arrested multiple people who were allegedly behind a coup that was backed by the United States. What is your response?
These latest accusations, like all previous such accusations, are ludicrous. As a matter of longstanding policy, the United States does not support political transitions by non-constitutional means. Political transitions must be democratic, constitutional, peaceful, and legal. We've seen many times that the Venezuelan government tries to distract from its own actions by blaming the United States or other members of the international community for events inside Venezuela. These efforts reflect a lack of seriousness on the part of the Venezuelan government to deal with the grave situation it faces.
The U.S. has a long-standing practice of not promoting, what did you say? How long-standing is that? I would, in particular, in South and Latin America, that is not a long-standing practice.
Well, my point here, Matt, without getting into history, is that we do not support, we have no involvement with, and these are ludicrous accusations.
The U.S. actually has a very long history of supporting overthrows of foreign governments, or as the State Department a spokesperson said, non-democratic regime change. I think that that's kind of the code word. Remember enhanced interrogation techniques instead of torture? Non-democratic regime change, or government overthrows, also known as coups. And it's so funny that she says that there's this long-standing policy, because let me break it down for you a little bit.
If it seems I'm not righteous, your heroes are not strong, their empire is crumbling. We've been sent to save your children. Everything is going to get better. It's written in the stars. We wonder who they think we are. You can't fight what you can't see.
Iran in 1953, a non-democratic regime change supported by the United States. Guatemala in 54, Congo in 1960, the Dominican Republic in 1961, South Vietnam in 1963, Brazil in 1964, Chile in 1973, Iraq in the first Gulf War back in 1992, and even very recently the U.S. has been trying to impact, influence regime change and overthrows of governments in Iran, in Syria, on and on. And just a year ago, the U.S. trying to get involved and influence regime change in the Ukrainian revolution. Sometimes something is so ridiculous that it's hard to even break it down and analyze it in its component pieces, because it's so inaccurate that it is laughable. And I actually sympathize with the reporter for finding this funny, but as funny as it is frustrating how officials in this country, in many countries, but we're in this country, I'll talk about this country, officials outright lie without seeming to have any fear at all of censure or of discipline or of getting fired. This is a complete, it's literally a laughable untruth that led to people in the room laughing at the ridiculous nature of it.
That's not even funny.
Created this society. Not each one of us, but our past generations. We have those and us have created this present immoral, destructive society. And we are trapped by that society. That society is made by each one of us. So we are responsible for that society. Whether it is possible not to change society, but is it possible to radically, deeply transform our conditioning, which is understand deeply our consciousness, which is what we are. Is it possible to transform not into something, but to change, bring about a mutation in the very structure and nature of our consciousness? That is the problem. That is the crisis. It's not political crisis, economic crisis, or the crisis of war. But the crisis is in ourselves. And we apparently cannot face that crisis, or unwilling to face it. And so we try to escape from that fact through various forms of entertainment, religious, political, football, and all the rest of it. Also, as we were saying yesterday morning, the content of our consciousness, the content being what you think, what you feel, your reactions, your longings, your despairs, your pleasures, your depressions, your faith, your dogmas, your sorrow, your beliefs, your desperate loneliness, and the fear of ultimate death possess all that's your consciousness. That's what you are. And we are asking together whether that the content can be, can the content end?
Very powerful stuff. What more do you want?
Now, go find the others. .com.
Wait, I... Ding, 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 ding. Uh-oh, looks like we're out of time. Goodbye.